Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. John's Gospel today contains one of the most quoted verses in all, probably of all the New Testament. One just needs to say John 3:16, and many people, both Christians and outside the Christian faith, would probably could quote this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Okay? So in a nutshell, this is the good news of Jesus Christ for us today, for tomorrow, and for the future. But how do we internalize John 3:16 and know and believe in this good news of God? Well, for some of us, it starts with seeds planted in the dark. Let me explain. Our gospel begins with Jesus having an encounter in the night, or when it was dark, with Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, who was the Jewish ruling council in Jesus' time. From this short encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, we can infer that Nicodemus was paying attention to all the things that Jesus was doing in his ministry. For he says this to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. He saw Jesus do all the miracles, the healings, the raising people, all the stuff that Jesus was doing, feeding the 5,000. Notice Nicodemus, though, does not ask Jesus a question, does he? He just makes a statement. But there is an implied question for what he is doing. And what Nicodemus is saying is, God, what are you expecting of me, of us? You see, Nicodemus was a seeker of God, and yes, a seeker in the dark, but a seeker nonetheless. He wanted to do things right in God's eyes, but many of his friends in the Jewish ruling class were threatened by Jesus' teaching. And he didn't know what to do with that. And this is why Nicodemus comes in the cover of the night to talk to Jesus. He's trying to get things straight. He has conflicting things happening with his friends on the Sanhedrin and what he's hearing Jesus do and teach. We do this sometimes too, don't we? We come to Jesus in the dark. We try to sometimes hide our faith, and we don't want to talk about our personal beliefs about God, but yet we are seeking answers sometimes in the dark. It reminded me of a time when I was a preteen, and as most of you knew, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I was feeling very drawn to God as a preteen. I don't know what was going on with it, but I knew I was very drawn to God. And as I were not encouraged to read scripture as a child, okay? Anybody grow up like that? Okay, there's a lot of households that you just weren't allowed, you know. And in fact, the only Bible that we had in the house was a very large family Bible and had lots of pictures in it. And it would stay on a stand in our living room. Didn't get used a whole lot other than to stuff, you know, when people died, it would stuff all the cards in there. I have that Bible today. And I remember when my parents would be out of the house or I knew they weren't going to be back for a little bit or were busy, I would sneak that Bible into my room and read some of the stories. Especially the ones with the pictures, those are my favorite, because then I could visualize what was going on. But I didn't want my parents to find me reading the Bible. Now, kids, you can read the Bible anytime you want, okay? That's an okay thing. But why was I so afraid for my parents to find me reading the Bible? Well, first, because I was taught as a small child that only priests could interpret scripture and should read, and that should be read by a priest to you. Well, I wasn't a priest. Never thought it could be a priest. Well, don't. As I told Hunter today in our confirmation class, I said, never say never to God, okay? Yeah. But the other thing is I really didn't know why I was drawn to Scripture. And so I didn't want to answer any questions about that. You see, those were seeds planted in the dark when I was a preteen. Seeds of wanting to know more about God, but they didn't really take root, really truthfully, until I was in my early 40s. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark, wanting and needing something. And this is what Jesus answers him. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Well, this answer confused Nicodemus even more, taking really Jesus literally, and thinking, how can I be born again being a grown man? And then Jesus continues saying, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes or for where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus left Jesus that night probably even more confused than he ever was. But the seeds of the Spirit were planted in Nicodemus that dark night. And how do I know that? Well, because we hear two more times about Nicodemus in Scripture in John's Gospel. The next time we hear about Nicodemus is in John chapter 7, verses 50 and 51, where he is defending Jesus with his colleagues. And it says this: when the Pharisees went to arrest Jesus, Nicodemus questions his colleagues, asking if their law condemns a man without first hearing him. And then the next time we hear about Nicodemus is at Jesus' burial after he has died on the cross. And it's in John 19. It says, following the crucifixion, Nicodemus brings a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, to anoint Jesus' body, assisting Joseph of Arimathea in Jesus' burial in the tomb. Nicodemus went from a seeker to a disciple of Jesus. And it started with his nighttime encounter with Jesus. Seeds planted in the dark. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born of water and the Spirit. That's our first foreshadowing. What do you think Jesus was talking about? Anybody? Baptism. Yeah, he's talking about baptism. As the Episcopal Catechism defines, baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Water is the outward sign, the symbol of cleansing or cleaning, combined with receiving the Spirit of God, an inward grace freely given by God, but something that we can't see, really, can we? It's like the wind. And that was Jesus' point. The Spirit of God moves all around us, changing us, transforming us, guiding us, like the Spirit did for Nicodemus. And it is the Spirit of God planted in each of us, the seeds sometimes planted in the dark, so to speak, that will grow us into disciples and believers in Jesus, so that we know for sure that John 3:16 is a truth for us. I've been baptized when I was an infant, and I know the Spirit of God was moving in and around my life all my life. But I can truly say I didn't have a major spiritual awakening until my early 40s. Many of you have, I know that you're probably saying, well, but Mother Anita, you're only 45, right? I wish. Many of you shared some of your concerns with me about friends and family who have seemed to be lost their faith or lost to God. And my answer and the hope that I hope I can give to you is keep planting those seeds in the dark. Let your Spirit of God be planted around all those that you interact with to spread God's kingdom here and now on earth. On earth as it is in heaven, we pray every week. We are all called to plant the seeds. God is responsible for the growth. Seeds planted in the dark can bloom into strong, mighty plants. Jesus models for us this encounter with Nicodemus, the encounter with a seeker wanting something more. And Jesus gives him more to think about. And that's what we are all called to do, to be seed planters in the dark. Amen.
Those who grieve, those who are displaced,